Isn't it good to be in the house of God this morning? Awesome. And we're glad that you're here today. Pastor Dan's all fired up to preach. Woo! Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O God, on this Sunday before Christmas. We thank You, Lord, for each one that is able to be out today. We thank You, Lord, for those that are snug at home. Pray Your blessing upon each one. Those that are discouraged, those that are in need of healing. We thank You, Lord, that You are the healing God. Thank You, Father God, for all of Your blessings poured out today. Upon the children, we rejoice in them being here today and pray a rich blessing on them. But, Father, we want You to be blessed by the praises of Your people, blessed by the attitude of the heart, come desiring to worship and desiring to hear the Word of God proclaimed. May You, O Lord God, be blessed in this place because of the efforts of each one that came here today, despite obstacles. May You be praised, O God, and glorified in this place. And Lord, may You manifest Your glory in every heart, O God, and accomplish the things that You desire to do in us today. For we ask it in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen.
And so we adore Him. We choose to adore Him this morning and always. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lamb. Sing choirs of angels. Sing in exaltation. Oh, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God. Glory in the highest. Oh,
you to stand and sing the last chorus with me.
For He alone is worthy. For He alone is worthy. For He alone is worthy.
In His presence is fullness of joy. Amen. Thank the Lord for His glorious presence amongst us today. We can worship the Christ every day of the year, not just at Christmas time. But at Christmas time, there is something special. because of our cultural background, because of the saints that have gone before us in the past, who have worshiped the Lord in this particular time and in this particular way. You know, was Jesus born on the 25th of December? No, not likely. There's lots of that's politics and history and lots of fights over those things. I celebrate Christmas and the Advent season because it's a good thing. Because my ancestors did. Were they right? Did they have it all together? No, but, you know, there's something special about Canada in the snow celebrating Christmas. We have our own cultural adaptation to these things. As you look out the window and see it falling, you go, oh, isn't that pretty? And so, praise be to God, it just makes all the difference. And so we love the season. It's also an opportunity for us, the Church of Jesus Christ, who believes in the birth of Christ at every day of the year, but it's an opportunity for us to share our joy with others about our Savior, because He is the reason for the season. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Father God, we're thankful today. Thankful for You. Where could I go but to the Lord? I know I'm getting a song flying into my heart right now. Where could I go? Living below in this old troubled world. Father, when we see the things going on at this time of the year all over the world, and Syria, other parts of the world, and Africa. Father God, we are so blessed. We are blessed in abundance. We complain about the hydro, and I will tomorrow complain about the hydro. But Lord, at the same time, Father, I paid it. Praise God. I paid it this month. I thank You, Lord, that whether they say the price of food is going to go up $400 next year, Lord, You'll supply. Lord, because You take care of Your children. Father God, You are faithful. You are faithful, faithful, faithful. And so, Lord, as we give back to You, we're reminded that we can never outgive You. You have continued to bless us. Lord, we pray for those that we are ministering to and the variety of things that we do in the youth center and, Father, in the food bank and the House of Lazarus, the various local ministries that we support. Father, the issues far and abroad with our missionaries, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for our government. And we ask Your blessing upon each and every one of federal, provincial, and municipal leaders. We ask, oh God, at this time of the year especially, Lord, that they would have their hearts warmed toward the message of the Messiah. We thank Thee, oh Lord, for this church and for the heritage that we have and for Your faithfulness in keeping this church going. And Lord, until You come again, we pray that we shall yet abide in faithfulness. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Well, let's just open with a quick word of prayer before we get into God's word this morning. So, Father, I just thank You so much for Your presence, Lord. A time of this season is just, it's incredible because we remember when Your presence really invaded earth. That You came and took on human flesh. And God, I just ask that in Your word this morning, as we look at Your birth, that Jesus, that Your name would be just lifted so high. And that, Father, that as we dwell on this story, that Your joy would just penetrate our hearts. And God, that Your joy would just capture us over these next few weeks. And God, I pray that You would just speak Your truth this morning. Let Your word just go down deep into our core and stay with us as we leave this place. So, Father, we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you guys have your Bibles, if you want to turn to the book of Luke, the book of Luke, and in starting in chapter 2, And this actually was read earlier this morning, so let's just read it again. So Luke 2, and I'm going to start in verse 8, and I'm going to read to 14. Reading from the ESV. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace amongst those with whom He is pleased." Many of you recognize this passage. It's often read around Christmas time. But the reality, I find that in this passage, really, I find the core of this passage is about joy. The heart of this message, this announcement, it's joy. So when I think about Christmas, really the reason for Christmas, at the core of Christmas is joy. And for some of us that's very true, regardless of whether they know the story of Jesus or not, because Christmas means, you know, family and friends and time off from work. And it means just good food and presents, and it can be a time of joy for people. But for others, it can be a difficult season. It can be a reminder of how they don't have maybe the family that they'd hoped for, that their mom and dad aren't around anymore, and it brings back maybe some sad memories. You know, Christmas can be a time of great joy, and it also can be a time of great sorrow for some. But I want to suggest to you this morning that whether everything is great this Christmas or maybe everything is just going wrong, it'll always be a season of joy, because it's the celebration of Jesus' birth. And that, friends, is the greatest message of joy we could ever know. And if you really grasp this truth this morning, if you grasp the message of Jesus in Him coming to earth as a baby, no matter what's happening around you, you'll always have joy in your heart because you'll have Jesus. But I want to look at these few passages this morning, and we don't have a lot of time, but I want to look at a couple of points that really point to the reality that Christmas is all about joy. So let's kind of read through this a little bit and break it down. But first we start off in verse 8, and it says, "In the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." Now, I don't know if you guys recognize this, but this is the announcement that Jesus, that the Savior had come into the world. This is the announcement that the Messiah, the Anointed One, Christ the Lord, had come. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that God in the flesh, that God was now residing in flesh. I mean, this is huge news. So who does God choose to make this announcement to? Is it the rulers, the kings, the princes? Is it to the wealthy and to the famous? It's to shepherds. Why shepherds? Why did Jesus choose shepherds to make this announcement to? Well, we don't really quite understand in our culture, in our time, but the reality is that if you go back to that time, if you go back a couple thousand years ago and you were to talk to the average person about what they thought of in regards to a shepherd, well, shepherds were really considered the lowest rung in society at that point. Many viewed shepherds, actually the Egyptians wouldn't even eat with them because they thought they were so disgusting. That those who took care of sheep, you can read in Genesis 43, the Egyptians said, anybody who takes care of sheep is disgusting and we're not going to eat with them. And later on you find even the Jewish people, they looked down on shepherds so much so that they wouldn't allow them to give testimony in court. They couldn't give a testimony in court because they were untrustworthy. They were considered to be thieves and crooked. So shepherds weren't viewed as these great, you know, strong. They were viewed as just the worst. They were the lowest rung. And Jesus chooses to make his announcement to these people. And I don't know if you get the significance of that, but really for me it shows that Jesus or God is laying a foundation for us in understanding that he has come to establish grace. Because friends, the shepherds themselves probably didn't think that they deserved to have this announcement to them. They'd heard what everybody else said about them. They heard what everybody else thought about them, whether it was true or not. But God chooses to make his announcement to these people. And it was to establish an important truth that God had come with a message of grace. That it doesn't matter what you do or how much money you have or the privilege and power and position that you've gained in life. God doesn't care about those things. He comes for the lowest of low. He comes for all people. But if we move even further into this story, into this announcement, we find something actually quite profound. And moving on, it says, the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, saying really, this is how you're going to find him. This is how you're going to find the Messiah. He's going to be wrapped in swaddling cloths and he's going to be lying in a manger. Now the first part, the first feature that they were going to look for is that he would be wrapped in swaddling cloths. And really this is just a natural thing. There's nothing peculiar or special about this. We to this day wrap our babies in swaddling cloths. In a sense, we wrap them tight so that they're warm and secure. Many of the mothers, they've done that to their babies. And Mary was no different. She wrapped her baby tightly so that it would feel secure and it would feel warm. It was a mother's love, just doing what she knew to do. But the second element, that he would be found lying in a manger, it holds very, very deep significance. And a manger, what is a manger? It's a feeding trough. It's a place where horses and cows and pigs would stick their face and eat their food. And here is where the Messiah was to be found, lying in a feeding trough. And I don't know if the shepherds, as they were kind of just going and sprinting, I would imagine they were running to find the Messiah, that they were going to look, he's here, he's come, the anointed one. And the Jewish people, they were expecting a Messiah. They were anticipating, they were hoping for someone to come and save them from the oppression of that time and to establish a rule over the earth. And Jesus came, yes, as the Messiah, but he didn't come in the way that many of the world at that time believed the Messiah was going to come. But nevertheless, they were looking for the Messiah, looking for this baby lying in a manger. And I don't know if you see the parallels here, if you get the parallel, but I see this incredible parallel. The shepherds, who were considered to be, in a sense, unclean, that they were considered to be the lowest of the low in society. And now they're looking for the Messiah who is lying in a manger in an unclean place. Who, if you were to ask anyone today where they would lie their baby, they would say that that was the last place that they would want to lie their baby. The lowest of the low in terms of places to put your baby. Do you see the parallels between the shepherds and the Messiah? Why are these parallels there? What is God trying to reveal to us through this story, through these interesting facts? It's that God had come for all people. He'd come not looking for particular people of position and wealth and power and privilege, or of upright moral standing. People that were doing everything right. God wasn't coming for them. He was coming for everyone, for all people, whether rich or poor, whether black, brown, or white, it didn't matter. God was coming for all people because He loved all of us. And it didn't matter. And I wonder if the shepherds later, as they were reflecting on the fact that wait, the Messiah, He's just like me. And that, friends, is what a message that God was trying to convey to us, that God chose to come and dwell amongst us just like He wanted to walk in our shoes, just like us. He came into the world in the frailty of a child. Friends, and if you think about this, there were no iron gates, no lavish palaces that were guarded by a horde of armies, with only a select few people allowed to be there at the birth. And friends, if you have had children, or if you've been a part of a process of just being there when a mother is bringing a child into the world, and those precious moments after, you know that the mom has said that there's only a certain amount of people or select few people that are allowed to be there. Right? You don't want 50 people in that room 10 minutes after you've had the child. If you do, you're special. I don't know, that'd be a big, big thing. But there's a select few people that are allowed to be there. That you say, yes, you can be there, you can be there. God was, he wasn't in that situation, He was exposed. Anybody could have come. Anybody could have just walked in and looked and say, hey, there's a baby lying in a manger. No iron gates, no palace, no armed guard. A frail, physically weak little baby, the Messiah. And God chose this for a very purposeful reason. He chose the most humble of circumstance, the most lowliest of low places to be born, to reveal to the world that He was a humble God. And that He loved all of us equally. No matter our righteousness or our goodness, no matter our wealth or our privilege or our power, He loved us all equally, completely. He came for us. But I want to say that there's something even deeper. That Jesus modeled for us the ultimate humility, because really, friends, if you think about it, if anybody deserved to have been born into just lavish splendor, to have every possible privilege available to them, to the mother, to the child, it would have been God coming in the flesh. The King of Kings, the one who spoke the stars and the moon and everything into existence. It was God. He deserved this. But He chose not those things. He chose to lay all that aside. His own divinity, friends. That God, that the pre-existent Christ, who dwelled with the Father and Son for all eternity in perfect union, who had every available privilege at His fingertip. He chose to throw all that, in a sense, push that to the side and step into the frailty of human existence so that He would walk as we walked, that He would feel as we feel, that He would be a Savior, that wouldn't just from afar save a people, but he would step into our circumstance and be able to relate with us on every level. He chose this path, the humble path. But you could also wonder, why did he choose such a humble path? Was it for just those things? Well, I think it even goes one level deeper. And this, friends, this blew me away. For whatever reason, I hadn't seen this before. But I came across it in my reading and just studying the scriptures and praying. And it was that, friends, that, well, let me read for you what Timothy Keller says about this. And Timothy Keller is a much smarter man than me. So I'm going to read a little bit of something what he said about this. Humility is crucial for Christians. We can only receive Christ through meekness and humility. Very simple. We can only receive Christ through meekness and humility. Do you see what Jesus was doing? In modeling for us the ultimate example of humility, he was really showing us that, friends, if you want to come to Christ, follow my example in the sense of modeling humility, being humble, because if you're not humble, you'll never be able to embrace in Jesus. If you're not humble, because you know what humility says? Humility says, I need help. I need someone to save me. I'm lost. I have this problem, this sin disease that needs a cure, and I don't have it, and I can't figure it out. Humility is to say that we need Jesus to save us. And he knew that we needed the example, the model of humility. And he modeled for us perfectly by coming and being born into the world as a little baby, exposed in the open, lying in a manger. But friends, there's also something else. There's just so much depth to the birth of Jesus. But friends, that when Jesus was lying in that manger and those shepherds got to approach the Messiah, do you see the symbolism that's happening here? That these shepherds, the lowest rung of society, considered unclean, considered disgusting, they got to step up and stand before God. They got to enter into the very place where God rested. And guys, you know, many of you know, that in the Old Testament, if you follow through the Old Testament, that there was a system, that God's presence was protected, that there was a temple, and that the ark represented the presence of God, and it was in a particular place, and there was veils that blocked off people from experiencing the presence of God, because when you experience the presence of God, it could kill you, it could just drop you dead. And there are instances in Scripture, in 2 Samuel, where you find people flippantly treating the presence of God, and they die immediately. God's presence is so powerful, so fierce, that encountering it in its fullness will kill you, because your sinfulness, your humanness can't absorb it. But now we have these lowest of the rung of society shepherds being able to step right close to God. And it was a physical symbol of a future spiritual reality. Because friends, when Jesus came to earth, it was a rescue mission. He came with a purpose. He came to rescue us from our sin. Because sin had separated us from God, had created a barrier. It had created a barrier. And we couldn't walk close to God like they did in the Garden of Eden. We couldn't be intimate with our Father because sin had separated us. So what did God do? He came to earth to tear down the separation and the barriers, to restore us to relationship to God, to intimacy with the Father. He came to tear away all those things that had separated us. And if you read in Matthew, see if I can, Matthew 27, verse 51, you'll find that when Jesus died on that cross, that the veil that was set up in place, this very thick veil that it was set up to separate the people from God's presence, it was ripped from the top to the bottom. It was ripped in half. It was destroyed. That Jesus sacrificed for our sins, it destroyed the barriers. So friends, there was this birth is a foreshadowing of what was to come and how Jesus was going to take our sin upon His shoulders and go to the cross and take the penalty that we deserved. And when He died, so did our sin, so did the punishment that we deserved, it died with Him. And when He rose again, He overcame death, He overcame sin. And now, if we put our faith and trust in Him, in Acts 2, verse 7, I believe, 2 verses 21. It says, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friends, if you call upon the name of the Lord and you put your faith and trust in Him as Savior and submit to His Lordship, you will be saved. And all those divisions, all that dividing stuff, it's gone. And you have immediate access to the Father. That you can have intimacy with the Father. That you can talk to the Lord. That you can enter into the most holy of places. That you can, like a child, sit on their dad's lap and just feel His embrace. That God came to rescue us, to restore to us this broken relationship. He modeled for us humility. He modeled for us the Christian life. And He went to the cross, sacrificing Himself, restoring to us a relationship with the Father. And friends, this is why Christmas is such good news. And this is why when the angel announced to these shepherds, I bring you great news, news of joy. And friends, here's something that we shouldn't look past. In that this news, it could have been on the flip side. It could have been terror. It could have been news of terror. Because when I read in Scripture, I find that there were a people, God's people, who constantly rebelled against God and chose their own way. Psalm 14, 2 and 3 says, the Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. For all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Paul later in Romans 3 reiterates what was said in Psalms 14. There is no one who does good. That we all fall short. That God, though He continually showed favor to His people and kindness to His people and continued to send messengers to say, come to Me, follow Me, and I will make you a nation so great that the nations around the world will look to You and want to embrace Me as God. That You're to be the example to the world, to show the world the favor and blessing of God Almighty. But they didn't. They constantly chose selfishness and rebellion. And so here's the reality that these shepherds, when they were terrified, they had a legitimate right to be terrified. Yes, in the physical, when the invisible spiritual realm pierces through the natural, that would be terrifying. But there's another level that they knew their own sin. And what's happening? Are these angels coming to bring terror, news of terror down on me and our people? It could have been. They deserved it. God could have come and said, I've come to wipe this sinful people out. But no. He came with news of great joy. He came with a foundation of grace and mercy that He was coming to rescue us from the sin that we couldn't get out of ourselves. It says that we were dead in our sin. And he came on a rescue mission. And friends, I hope this morning that you have embraced Jesus as your Savior. I know many of you have. But if you have done that, I hope that this just is a reminder and an encouragement to you that even though everything around you, it might be good or it may not be good, to look back to the birth of Jesus and remember that we can have joy because Jesus came to save us from our sin and restore us to intimacy with God. And that is the greatest news. That is news that we can celebrate. So if everything's going wrong for you this Christmas season, look to Jesus. Look to Him. Remember what He did for you. How He saved you from sin. How He redeemed you. How He restored you to relationship with the Father. That now because of Him, we have immediate access to God. To hear His voice. To hear Him speak over us. To commune with Him, like those shepherds who got to step close to the Savior, to walk near God in the flesh for the first time in their lives. I hope that you have done that, that you have experienced God's presence in your life, that you have been able to step near, to walk close and experience God's warmth and His embrace. I want to invite anyone and everyone that if you have not experienced and given your heart and life to Jesus, would you do that this morning? Would you give your heart to the Lord? Would you allow Christ and what He accomplished and His mercy and forgiveness to just wash over you? So I want to pray this morning, and I'm going to pray a sinner's prayer, a very simple prayer. And if you want to receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord, if you want to give Him your life and experience this lifelong relationship, just follow me in this prayer. Father, I ask that You would come into my life, that You would forgive me of my sin. And God, I ask that You would become my Savior and my Lord, that You would lead my life. In Acts 2:21, it says that if you do those things, if you commit that prayer to your heart and you believe that, it says that you will be saved. But I also want to pray for us as for those of us who have given our lives to the Lord. I know that sometimes Christmas can be hard. And reality is life is hard. All of us in this room, we will face hardship, we will face difficulty, we will face challenges. Even this Christmas season, whether it be siblings or children or grandchildren that are far away from you, and that can be hard to see them. Whether it be financial issues, whether it be physical issues, things that are afflicting your body, things that you've been dealing with that are hard to endure, hard to face. There's lots of reasons that we can be upset, things that we can be sad about. But Lord, I pray that Your presence in the midst of all those things, that You would speak to our heart this morning. You would remind us to look to You, Lord, for joy. Look to Jesus. That you would even encourage us this morning. That when things are hard, look to Me. Look to Me. Let My presence, let My truth fill your heart with joy. Let My peace that passes all understanding invade your heart. And Jesus, I'm just so thankful that if I was to lose everything, lose my boys, lose my family, lose my home, lose my job, I would still have joy because I have Jesus. And I pray that same testimony would be true for everyone here this morning, that if we were all to lose everything, we would still have joy because we have Jesus. So I thank you, Lord, and I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. You know, if you've accepted Jesus into your heart today, if you have prayed that simple little prayer that Pastor Daniel was sharing with us, then, wow, joy to the world, the Lord has come, because he's come to your heart today. 125. You know, 125, let's stand to sing. 125, go something like this. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let us receive our King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. The joy of Jesus Christ that comes through the love of God the Father and by the power of the Holy Spirit bless and keep each one of you until we gather again, whether here in God's house or on the other side of the veil of life in his kingdom fullness. Amen. Amen. God bless you today.